SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Memorial Day, race fans, and of course, thoughts with those that gave all, so that we can be off today and play the races. I guess that's right. I guess that's that luxury. No, it's for everything that we do in every which way, and it is nice to get to this juncture in the calendar. It's been, frankly, better than expected. we've had a couple of beautiful days, and we're into a third here, at least in upstate New York, and hopefully where you are to enjoy Memorial Day, friends, family, and anything else. The weekend so far, it's been really good. The racing's been excellent. It always is. This is one of those weekends. You know, there's a few of these, you know, that aren't associated with Triple Crown events, and not even associated, you know, with things like Breeders' Cup Challenge weekends and all that stuff. It's just, you know, there's certain standards on the calendar that just sort of fall really well, and this has always been one of them with the Monday racing, and in particular, of course, today later this afternoon. Let's see the post times. I'm curious. 7:30 Eastern. 7, actually. 7:03, 7:33, 8:03. The Grade 1s at Santa Anita. The Gamely. The Gold Cup. And I know it's the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, but you can go ahead and call it the Hollywood Gold Cup. And the Shoemaker. So into the evening hours, at least for those of us on the East Coast, it's really a full day. Everywhere else you look, too. In New York, 1:30, first post. 1:30? You got to always check the New York Post because they change. They change so often. It is 1:30, and the stakes action starts as race 4. There's a cross-country pick 4 today. It's kind of a weird one. It's 4 races from Belmont and the Lone Star Park Turf race. Is today's TV coverage, and the cross-country pick 5. We'll get to Nick Tamaro will be with the second half of the show and probably rehash Saturday's pick 5, which paid $35,000 and was as daunting as can be. 2 winners in that cross-country pick 5. 2. It was murder, and that optional claiming Jersey bred race, you had a tough, that was a tough horse to come up with. I very, very, very tough. I wrote when I tweeted out the link, I said this was a challenging Saturday. I didn't play as much yesterday knowing that we were going to play today, but Saturday was really good. The Churchill Racing and Belmont, Monmouth, and that, you know, that one race in between the two stakes is what proved, you know, particularly challenging. Even in its own way, frankly, the Salvatore Mile, which was the first leg of that cross-country pick 5. And Sunny Ridge, I kind of agreed with Nick, and I tried to tiptoe through a little bit in there using Diamond King and Bal Harbor, and then I only used Sunny Ridge as a C and got up and provided a nice early season win to Dennis Drazen. What a nice horse this is, Sunny Ridge. Just, you know, is he a Grade 1? You know, no, but he's just a very solid, you know, Grade 2, Grade 3 type you know, regular, you trot them out on a regular basis type. And even though it feels, I agreed with Nick too at the on Friday that if you were listening to the replay, that, you know, he's more of a one-turn horse. Well, you know, he got a good ride from Lescano and gets up and gets past Diamond King, who ran very well. And so Jason Service beats John Service there. Todd Pletcher in there third. The stakes action, and to kind of dive in a little bit to some of the results from the weekend, because we had plenty of stakes, and Santa Anita really has been the engine on that train. Yesterday they had to come off the turf, actually, for that Monrovia, but on Saturday, we'll talk to John White later, and John will handicap the stakes with us, but going back to Saturday, what a great story. Eddie Haskell, claimed by Mark Glatt, and now a graded stake winner. And, you know, it's funny, the races that have come off the hill, the six and a halves, that have given away, you know, to these five furlong turf sprints at Santa Anita. Eddie Haskell's a recipient, actually, a beneficiary of that, because he's a true five furlong type sprinter. And he won, I mean, just as he pleased almost here. DeSormo aboard. DeSormo has ridden him a couple of times for Mark Glatt. And he has now won, since the claim, it was a $50,000 claim. And what's amazing is, actually, you know, that claim, and I chose not to reach out to Mark Glatt for today, because Glatt has got a big chance later at Santa Anita, of course, in the Shoemaker. He's got Sharp Samurai, who's got a huge chance. So if Glatt were to win today, that would make for a double conversation. But Eddie Haskell had been off a year, I mean, virtually exactly a year. And when he came back, and I guess that's a question maybe for Doug O'Neill, they didn't find a waiver claim type race for him. You know, he would have qualified for having been off that much time, but they put him in a 50 claimer, and he got swiped. And boy, oh boy. Open company, second level allowance win. Then another one of those, or an optional claimer. $100,000 conditional claimer win. Another conditional claiming win for basically $80,000. And now the graded Daytona. And also a recipient of 100 buyer, his career best. And he's been, you know, he's been running 90s and, you know, high 80s for really his whole career. I mean, ever since he matured. He's 6 years old. He's a square Eddie, and he shows no sign. I mean, there he is. Here it is, mid-season virtually, as a six-year-old, and he runs a career best. And Glatt, you know, we had that terrific conversation, the very frank conversation with Mark Glatt, Santa Anita Derby Week. Go back and listen to that, if you know, right in the teeth of the difficulties. And Glatt has really had a terrific meet, and as it sees the finish line, he can really close out another certainly a grade one win would be a great way to wind down the meet. The Shoemaker today, Delta Prince out there for Jimmy Jerkins. There's a few invaders. There's a few East Coast invaders in all three of those stakes. Chad Brown's got Rimska competing in the Gamely. And you've got Pletcher, who we talked to on Friday, marking the... And so, as I said to you, so many tributes poured in the last 72 hours to appreciate J.J. Krupe. But Vino Rosso out to Santa Anita to compete with Giftbox, who just feels really tough in there in the Gold Cup, and Jimmy Jerkins. So at least, you know, there's one East Coast invader in each of the grade ones. But anyway, the Eddie Haskell win is really, I thought, was one of the best stories of the weekend. And the Whittingham, Marquise Water, Richard Baltus, who just, I mean, just humming along and spotting horses well at every level. This was the grade two, going the mile and a quarter. And Tiago Pereira for Little Red Feather and Norm Tavares. The partners, by the way, on Eddie Haskell, Jim Haley and Phil Wood. And $50,000 well spent. So those generally go well. The 50, the 62.5 claims, generally you're getting yourself a, but that was a daring maneuver to claim a horse for $50,000 off a year layoff. And look at what Glad has done. Marquise Water bided time, basically, and then came with the run. And Pereira, two in a row for Baltus. And Little Red Feather's has had a great season. And then how about in the Triple Bend? You had a fair upset in the Triple Bend. Slam Dunk, Nick Casado, who you heard from, and partners Mattiquette, Sal Cumin, and his partners, and Michael Netwing. Airstrike, 2740, with Norberto Arroyo Jr. And Norberto, I mentioned the other day, Arroyo Thursday, was unbelievable. If you didn't see the comments by Arroyo, it was great. Basically, you know, saying how the horses have given him everything and how committed, and he was great. He was great. And that was at that Thursday CHRB meeting, the rather wacky scene. But Arroyo appreciated and then promptly rewarded because he had a great day Saturday. Not only did he win this, he won two others, and including even a bigger price. So good for him. You know that I'm an unabashed fan. Arroyo's had such a checkered past and career, and has been so harshly judged by a lot of people, and no one ever would question his talent. Yeah, he came back. He came back after that stake, and he won the nightcap, jamming with Brandon for Brand Jam, and Vladimir Sarin at 22-1. Yeah, Flavian Pratt had a huge weekend too. Pratt is tearing it up. Yesterday, I mentioned they had to come off the turf, unfortunately, for the Monrovia. And S.Y. Sky with Drayden Van Dyke for Phil D'Amato. And Nick Can't Say No Alexander. So two Calbred graded stake winners over the weekend. And then in the Oaks, My Majestic Rose with Pratt. Rudy Brissett invading. How about that? Good job. For owner breeder, Judy Hicks. And, you know, yesterday, too, you had that impressive debut from Comical, Doug O'Neill. For the longtime partners, the ERJ and Dave Kenny and West Side. All those familiar connections from the O'Neill barn. So that was your California action up till now. We'll talk more about it with John White later. I mentioned Sunny Ridge, and you also, of course, had the two other stakes, the Boiling Springs Beautiful Lover for Paul Pompa. Congratulations to Paul. Joe Bravo for Chad Brown, and you also had Almanar in the Mammoth over Synchrony. Had to survive an objection, too. But he got out. He definitely got out. Joe Bravo with both of those wins. They also ran the Riley. Louis Carvajal. Prendimi. With Chris DiCarlo. Plenty more to talk about, too, including Woodbine, where Mike Trombetta, who is going to join us. Trombetta. Global Access. We'll talk about what's next for Win, Win, Win. We'll get some Pimlico ideas. Marcus Hirsch after Mike to talk about the Rainbow Six. There's about a quarter of a million in it. So you got to figure $1.2 million, $1.3 million. Positive expectation today on the force out closing day at Pimlico. Back after this, Mike Trombetta. Much more today at the races. Happy Memorial Day.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
A triple crown for the ages wraps up with the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 8th. And no matter who you're betting in the Belmont, your best bet is with ExpressBet. ExpressBet's world-famous Belmont Stakes wager guide is available Friday, May 31st. It features analysis, insights, and picks from handicappers like Millie Ball, Steve Bick, and Jeff Siegel. Plus, cash in on ExpressBet's promotions, including a money-back guarantee on the Belmont Stakes and a 10% Exacta bonus on Gold Cup Friday. And if you don't have an ExpressBet account yet, now is the perfect time to get started. New customers who sign up before the Belmont get up to a $500 welcome bonus. Your best bet is with ExpressBet. Visit ExpressBet.com to learn more. And remember to join ExpressBet on Saturday, June 8th to watch and bet the Belmont Stakes. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse offers the year-round excitement of live thoroughbred racing and full card simulcasting from tracks across the country. Check out hcpn.com for the latest racing calendar, wagering information, daily entries, and results. All you need to enjoy your day at the races. June 1st will be the biggest day ever at Penn National, highlighted by the $500,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile. First post, 2:45 p.m.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, well, come on, everybody, and let's get together tonight. I got some money in my jeans, and I'm really gonna spend it right. Well, I've been doing my homework all the week long, and now the house is empty and my folks are gone. Woo, come on, everybody.
Well, you know, officially, Memorial Day, you know, technically starts the, you know, the summer season. So I suppose if we were going to play Eddie Cochran, you would think summertime. But frankly, I prefer this, and there's a couple other. I'd love 20 Flight Rock, and we love Eddie Cochran. We also love opportunities to talk to Mike Trombetta, and I would have preferred to be calling you on a Monday, let's see, the Monday after Derby or maybe the Monday after Preakness, but you'll have to go with the Monday after, if that's all right.
That's all right. At least you're calling me.
Exactly. Well, you know, very quietly, you've had a couple of you had actually a stake win that I haven't even I didn't think until we were getting ready to talk that, you know, there was also the win at Monmouth last Sunday. Wet Your Whistle, who looks like a horse to keep track of. This is a Stroll gelding for Bloomfield Farm, but on Saturday up at Woodbine in the Marine, and Global Access got a great ride from Patrick Husbands and upset the 3-5 Cassie favorite. In fact, a horse that Cassie kind of touted, Skywire, that he's excited about. He's prepping for the
Queen's Plate. Toward,
yeah, Queen's Plate, exactly. And instead, looks like you're prepping for the Queen's Plate, if possible, but not.
Unfortunately, I can't make him an Ontario bred.
No, exactly, exactly. You completely got in the way here. But anyway, this is a nice win for Mrs. Weber. And, you know, Mike, obviously we're going to talk about win, 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 but let's talk about some other good things that are going on, like these two horses.
Well, you know, Wet Your Whistle, he caught my eye late last year. He ran extraordinarily fast at Woodbine on a synthetic. And, you know, we had a few months of where, you know, we were getting rained off the grass. And, you know, I was convinced that he could still run okay on the dirt. And we probably wasted two or three races. But once I figured him out and what he wanted to do, and, you know, he's a one-turn horse, turf or synthetic is kind of what he's all about. I don't think he needs to have 5.5, but the one turn kind of is important. We gave him a little spell over the winter. I freshened him up in the month of January, put him back to work in February, and, you know, he's come out swinging. You know, he won the allowance race at Laurel in real good fashion, and then, you know, goes up there, and if I'm not mistaken, he may have broken the track record.
Let me see. I got the chart here somewhere. Hold on. Do I see an NTR? Let's see. We had they were looking for 1:04, and yeah, they absolutely did. And it's funny though. Usually the chart says that, and it doesn't mention it on the. Yeah.
So, you know, he's got some blue skies ahead of him, hopefully. And, you know, I got a fresh horse that came out running and very, very excited about him.
He's by Stroll. He's out of a Belong to Me mare from the old Winlock. How about that? Winlock's glory days. And our friend Bo Lane bred this one. Not a surprise. Bo, boy, oh, boy, what a broodmare band. And as people that listen to the show for any period of time know, Bo Lane breeds a nice horse.
Yeah, this guy's really come on here. And, you know, he always showed us pieces of talent, but I could never put it all together. Last year at Woodbine, he's definitely put it together. And, you know, we were able just to give him a little bit of a freshener because of winter, and I didn't want to send him to South Florida because I didn't want to try to make a 5/8 of a mile sprinter out of him. And, you know, he's paying us back handsomely.
Well, career best 95 buyer in here. And, you know, he started that maiden win at Laurel came on the dirt. And so he's done a little bit of everything.
That's what fooled me. That's what made me, was a hard for me to understand that he couldn't run well on the dirt. He was up, could run well enough to beat maidens, but that was about the extent of it.
Well, it was maiden 40 at Laurel, and then you brought him to Saratoga, and he was competitive in a starter. Then he got rained off the turf, and that didn't go well. And that must have been your first inclination or first inkling that he really wasn't a dirt horse.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, it just took us a while to figure him out. But I think for the moment, I think I know what he's all about at this point.
You know, and Mike, there's a valuable lesson here. First of all, who's Bloomfield Farm?
It's a David Palmer and his wife. They're, you know, I have a couple of horses for them. They're local people. You know, they have two or three horses a year, and, you know, enjoy the game.
17,000 as a yearling, a Keeneland yearling. Were you involved picking this out, or
No, he just sent him to me, and I had him ready to run it too, and he was injured and he needed some time, and he's been fun, and I think if all things stay the way that they are, he's going to have fun with him for some time.
Well, he's gelded already, and was gelded actually pretty early on. And what the lesson in here is. You know, started for maiden 40, and you know, then you turf sprinted him. Then he came off the turf. You went long on the turf a couple of times. You got firm and you got yielding. Then you cut him back and you tried him again in an allowance on the dirt going short, then up to Woodbine, and that was the eye-opener. And the lesson is, you know, that the owners shouldn't get, you know, don't get anxious. You know, you waited this long to get the horse to the racetrack as a three-year-old, and you're trying different things, and you're seeing what his aptitudes are. And, you know, instead of saying, well, you know, we tried five straight starter allowances and he, you know, he only picked up minor awards, yep. You stuck with it. And all of a sudden, not only do you get an allowance win, now you've got a stake winner and who knows what you got long term.
Yeah, when he ran at Woodbine, the track handicapper doing his wrap up, I was watching it from home, and he pegged him as being one of the best performances that he had seen up there that entire meet. And you know, that kind of resonated and stuck with me. I said, you know, if he's watching these things every day, and if he thought it was that good, you know, it truly was. And I figured, you know, this is one I better pay a lot of attention to.
Well, it looks like it's going to pay off handsomely. And what are you looking at, actually, with the summer months ahead?
Well, you know, he's a little tricky. I worked on that yesterday. So he could either show up at Presque Isle and the Carl Boyles of 5.5, or Woodbine has actually, they have a grade one 300,000 yep. On Queen's Plate Day. We'll see how good he's training and which one of those two we're in.
Well, and, you know, just coincidentally, this is his fourth win. Alex Cintron's been on for three of those wins, and Contreras had him up at Woodbine the first time. But this is a nice mount for Alex Cintron.
Oh, yeah, he's a nice horse. He gets along good with him. He breezed him for me before we got him started back. And, you know, he understands the horse and gets along with him good. He's a little tricky, but he understands him.
Very nice. Good for Alex. Let's talk about Global Access and Saturday. And, you know, this is a Live Oak homebred and Giants Causeway, a favorite go-to stallion for Mrs. Weber, and out of the German mare, the stout German mare, and Daveron by Black Sam Bellamy. This one also feels like he's, you know, improving as he gets experience.
Well, he got a lot of experience this winter because I yanked him out of the Gulfstream barn and took him to Tampa to be Win-Win-Win's workmate. So he was his workmate for four or five works in between, you know, the Pasco and the Tampa Bay Derby, because I needed a horse to work with it, and we signed him up for that job. Now, since then, I knew that he needed turf, and, you know, he could work good enough on dirt to do that. But, you know, I knew he wasn't going to have a future on the dirt. And it's worked out real well because he was able to, you know, get a placing at Tampa, and then he came back and won the stake at Tampa, and then a placing at Woodbine, and now a graded stakes win at Woodbine. So he's a brother to March to the Arch. So I surely hope Mrs. Weber still owns that mare, because that would give her two graded winners out of that mare.
Well, I'm going to check. We'll see what we'll see if there's a 2-year-old that is in the pipeline, and if there's a yearling and anything on the ground. This is, you know, this is an upset, because I can tell you, Cassie, just the other day, unprovoked, he was touting Skywire.
I got to tell you, and I shared this with the Live Oak connections. I had someone looking after him up there for us, so he didn't have to ship back and forth. And Patrick Husbands, who I don't know real well personally, I know what he's accomplished, and it's been an extraordinarily good career for him. He called me on Preakness Day, of all days. He picked up the phone, and he called me completely unsolicited, and he touted this horse unbelievably. He said, his words were, "There's no 3-year-old here that's going to beat him." And I thought that was a hell of a big statement. And, you know, I feel like it was Joe Namath saying, "I'm going to win the Super Bowl." So he was right. He got it done.
Interesting. Well, and that's an endorsement. Looking up and down, You mentioned March to the Arch. There's a two-year-old by Tiz now, Pretty and Fast, a filly. And then there's an unnamed Kitten's Joy colt, and there's an unnamed, obviously, brand new, shiny Quality Road filly. So
yeah, they've been breeding the mare nice.
She, well, kind of up the ladder, too. Started, actually, I wonder, there was a colt. The first foal was a Tappet colt that never made it to the races, which just shows you it's not foolproof. And then Mrs. Weber went to Honor and Serve, her own stallion, and then Arch, then this one with Giants Causeway. So two stake winners, and she's... she's testing the waters, and very nice, very nice. Back
yeah.
to back, good job, Mike. That's great.
Well, it's been fun with him. I mean, you know, I kind of put him, I asked him to do a lot of work over the winter to help get the other horse through the rigors of the Triple Crown stuff, and you know, he showed up, he did the job, and it's nice that he could go back to his real job and do some good things.
Well. How, you know, how quickly do you, you know, do you face the heavy heads with this colt?
Well, you know, I mean, it's turf and synthetic for him. So we have some choices and, you know, we'll see how he comes out of this race. And, you know, with Saratoga coming around the corner, there'll be lots of three-year-old options on the turf. So, you know, we'll be there soon enough.
You know, and just, you know, between Giants Causeway on the top end and, you know, the Dam, who made $500,000. I mean, she was a nice mare. And just, you know, in terms of distance, how far do you think he wants to go?
Well, I'll tell you, if you watch the race at Woodbine, the one thing that I took out of that race was the gallop out. The horse galloped out unbelievably strong. I mean, so that's one of those things I wasn't looking for, but I would have no worries running this guy, you know, much further in distance. I mean, the way that he galloped out after winning that race, I mean, he just had all kinds of energy to spare.
Well, that's encouraging. And, you know, obviously if he can win this distance and he has the ability to go, you know, to go further, you got something fun to play with, and in fact, just look, here we go. That's what I was trying to get. I was trying to get to Daveron's, where she, how far she went, and she, you know, she won a Bogey, she won the Boston Spa, she won the Dr. Penny, she was second in the Long Island in 2010, so she can add some, you know, plenty of stamina too to him. You mentioned
yeah.
Triple Crown, Mike, and let's get the recap in. And win it has been a, I don't want to call him a divisive presence or a you know, but he certainly has been debated as to what his aptitude is. And you know, you're grappling with it as much as anybody. Talk about the Derby and Preakness experiences plural. With win.
You know, I don't think he let me down. I mean, I think he showed up in a good way. He just was a little bit unlucky. You know, I think he caught a track that wasn't real conducive for him. And then, you know, he didn't do so well in his post position draw Preakness Day. Now, that said, I mean, everybody that has to overcome these kind of things. But, you know, he showed up. He was beaten five lengths in the Preakness, lost a good bit of ground. Just one of those things that happen. I'm looking forward to gearing him back up. I gave him a week off, and he's ready to get back at it.
Obviously, the wet track, that's a frustration that you just can't, you know, there's nothing you can really do, and you send him out there, and you hope for the best. And you could tell early on. I mean, he was in the back. He was climbing. He first time by the stands. Now the positive, Mike, is that he never really lost ground to, you know, to the horses up front. He ended up getting beaten the Derby eight lengths, which sort of, you know, tells you a little bit about what a strange chart we ended up with out of the Derby. But you know, so that one you kind of shrug off, and you know, it didn't take you long to kind of reboot and get interested in the Preakness. And I guess the question here is, in retrospect, style-wise, would you have been better off, you know, letting him settle and then coming with a run, considering how fast the pace ended up? It felt like to me that he was closer to the pace than you would have wanted, you know, knowing what we know now.
Yeah, and that's just the thing, right? We don't know that before the race. So, you know, we could have anticipated a pretty good pace, but, you know, we also had to get out of there and get on our way to try to get a spot. And to do it the other way, we'd have had to been relegated back to, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th, or 13th. And, man, that's a hard thing to do with Pimlico. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's not easy.
Yeah, and it, you know, the... Again, he didn't drop anchor, but he was too close to the pace. I mean, frankly, other than the winner and the pace setter, I mean, he ran credibly on that front. Knowing now also what you do from figures that came back, how do you decide whether you cut him back to one turn or whether you try some. You know, some other interesting spots. I mean, there's all these regional derbies to look at.
You know, I think they're all good conversations. But the way that the numbers have come back, I mean, I don't think I need to seek out a mile and a quarter or a mile and 3/16, but I have no reservations about running a mile and a 16th or a mile and an eighth either. The bigger question for me will be, when will we take the opportunity to maybe try him on the grass with his pedigree? And I got to think that all through and see what the schedules look like coming up and, you know, try to get him, maybe at least get him to a turf course to get a good breeze in him when he's ready and see what the feedback is. But other than that, I think, you know, I just, the biggest thing I got to do with him is find him a little bit of luck where he can get himself a clear sailing and a good trip and give him a chance to do his best.
Well, how did he come through this? I mean, this experience, you know, you would consciously, you know, made a decision about spacing the races over the winter and, you know, and kind of coming in after Tampa and Bluegrass and, you know, kind of laying out an intermediate, kind of a plan, in terms of how he, you know, weight loss and you know, the, I mean, how heartily did he come through the gauntlet?
I think he came through it better than I did. I was tired for a week. He seemed to be bouncing 2 days later. So I think he did just fine. We've been putting him out in the round pen every day. The weather's been good up here, and I'm seeing a happy horse that wants to eat everything we put in front of him. And you know, I don't think he's a whole lot worse for the wear, and for that I'm really grateful. But, you know, we have so many choices in front of him. I mean, he can go anywhere from 7/8 to a mile and an eighth. He can go turf. He can definitely do dirt. He might be able to do turf. And, you know, every racetrack is open all over the place, so it's just a matter of what direction we decide to point him.
Well, it certainly was fun, and, I've talked enough. Anybody listening on the to the show any period of time knows what an exciting experience it was for me to be around you and the team with Sweet Northern Saint. And this was another for you a good experience too. I mean, to come back and hit these races back to back the same way you did with Saint.
Well, you know, the reality is, I mean, only. You know, a chosen group of people are fortunate enough to be able to do this, you know, once or even more in their lifetime. And, you know, I don't take it for granted. I hope to be able to do it more, but we don't ever know if we'll ever be able to do it again. So, you know, we just keep working. And every year that's, you know, it just adds to the excitement of bringing in the new horses every year.
Well, let's also, while we've got the opportunity, ask you your thoughts on what transpired in the Derby and its aftermath. And in fact, you in a lot of ways were the first to alert. We were watching the race together in that little pillbox, and you said there's going to be an inquiry. There's something. There was an incident up there. You know, this is before. Yeah, I think even the objection sign went up. What was your take on that, as many times as you probably had to watch the replay anyway?
Well, you know what? I think we're all very lucky in the sport that we dodged a what could have potentially been a terrible situation. So, you know, it's unfortunate that someone got taken down, and you know, none of us want to see these kind of things happen. But I always try to find the bright side in everything that I do. And for me, the bright side is, you know, somebody lost a race, but nobody came out of there in a harmed, you know, fashion. So, you know, we could have been right there in the midst of having a huge mess on our hands. So, you know, could have had a pile up at the top of the stretch. So I'm real grateful. Nothing more happened than what it did. And, you know, I think the sooner everybody picks up the pieces and goes on, the better off we'll all be.
A separate issue. And this one directly affects you, obviously. And, you know, you're a Marylander, and you operate there, and I assume, you know, always will. The situation at Pimlico, Mike, and what transpires. I mean, you and I talked, in fact, through a period before any of the residuals came from the gaming, the stipend, which really has helped stabilize things in Maryland. I had, you know, discussions for years with Georgianne Hale when the struggles were just so apparent, and Maryland Racing, you know, was listing and in dire straits, and, you know, now things are very healthy. What do you expect should happen or will happen, and what's your Pimlico read, and what would you like to see happen there in terms of either abandoning and making Laurel a super track, or digging the heels in and creating a new Pimlico?
Really, really tough question. I'm a little sympathetic to both sides, you know, of understanding the problem. And when I walked out on the infield to saddle that horse on Preakness Day, and I just happened to turn around and look in the direction of the grandstand and see it with tens of thousands of people, you know, out every window, and just from one end to the other, completely jam-packed with people, you know, it's like, wow, what a good feeling. You know, look at this audience that are here to watch these races. And, you know, it's definitely a huge issue for them. And, you know, I was there several days this week after the Preakness, and there's literally what feels like only a few hundred people there. You know, so they get that facility gets attention 2 days a year, and that's a pretty tough business model to maintain. So with that said, I understand both sides. You know, we hate to see it leave, but we understand the business owner has a problem that needs resolved. I certainly would hope that a resolution comes out of it that's good for everybody. I don't know if we're going to be that fortunate, but, you know, it's one of those special days every year that happens, and I hate to see it go away. You know, I don't think it'll ever be the same anywhere else, and I hope that the people that have the money and have the resources and have the knowledge to know how to fix it come to a good plan that works for all, everybody.
Well, that was very diplomatic.
Well, it's the truth. I mean, you know, it is. I mean, I grew up there. I mean, I've been there every year for the last 35 or 6 years. I mean, you know, it's been a part of my life. And, you know, I mean, I'd hate to see it go away, but there's no doubt it needs something good's got to happen.
Well, let me ask you, while we got the chance to, everybody's going to play the Pimlico. Not everybody, but a lot of people will play today because you got the Rainbow Six forced payout. And there's a little under $300,000 in the pot. You got to expect this to reach $1.2 million, $1.3 million, maybe more, actually. And should be a positive expectation today. You've got Rocket to the Moon in the well, it's not really the feature, but it's a maiden 40. Turf sprint today. What help can you give players?
Rocket to the Moon. It'd be the big question is whether turf helps him or not. He's been a little disappointing in his first two dirt starts. So short distance, turf, by a turf sire. I'm hoping he finds his way around there in good order.
That I don't know if that was much of an endorsement.
Well, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. That's all I can be. Until they show me that they can, I can't assume that they can run until they show me they can run. So I'm anxiously watching.
I love it. I love it. What question? What about question of the day? Is she running?
Yeah, she's running at Mammoth. She's in a little deep, but it's a short field. She ran a lifetime best last time in the mud. I know it's not going to rain. I'm just hoping that she can show up with that kind of caliber horse and do all right.
That's a little stake today, right?
Yeah, it's a $75,000 stake up there.
Nice. Well, yep. you already claimed one last Sunday. So how often do you go up to Mammoth?
You know, I have a few stalls up there, so it works out real well. What I do is I take some of the horses out of the Fairhill Training Center when they get in there, and we kind of rotate them in and out of there, and it's nice because it's a great place to race. I would love to spend more time up there in the summer. Just unfortunately, it's probably 6 hours of driving for me to make the trip.
Which also begs a question: how many condition books do you look at on a daily basis? Right.
A big stack. Yeah, everywhere in the Mid-Atlantic. And you have Woodbine. You know, for me, I've run some at Woodbine, and all the places, and now, hell, we're going to have to add Colonial Downs to it this year. So this time of year, I carry 7 or 8 condition books around with me.
How active are you going to be in the match series this weekend at Penn?
I have a couple. I have one that actually is going to run this go-round, but I have some others that are running the match series the next go-round that are just coming online. So we did get a small award last year in it with one horse, but that's a great series. If you have the horses for it, it's a fun, good series to be a part of.
Yeah, agreed. We're looking forward to that, You got the Penn Mile, which has become an established graded stake for the 3-year-olds. Today, Mike's got question of the day from the 6-hole in the 10th. That's the Hysterical Lady of Mammoth. And for those that are going to dive into the Rainbow Six payout at Pimlico closing day, the maiden 48th race, rocket to the moon. And Mike. It was so much fun these last 3 weeks with you and Marie and your dad and the kids. And I got to send you some really good pictures. I got a great picture of you and Jan and Rudy and Omar.
It comes and goes so fast,
Yeah.
And it was fun. And, next stop, we'll see you at Saratoga.
Absolutely. If not before that. And Mike Trombetta, everybody, who is now, and Mike is now on Twitter. We tried to give him that initial boost, but we'll remind. How are you finding yourself on Twitter?
I get the kids to help me.
Trombetta _ Mike to follow. Mike, as always, I appreciate it. And
thank you.
Continued success.
All right. Have a great day. Appreciate the time.
Not at all. We appreciate it. Nice half hour with Mike Trombetta. And As I've said, it was one of the great experiences for me ever around racing. The time we spent at Churchill, that 2006 Derby, and that was really the first, being involved with the show I think that was actually the first time I spent 2 weeks as well at Churchill, and it must have been in January of 06, and I only got involved with the show in 05 in November, and it was after the Miraclewood or Sweet Northern Saint had run in some smaller stake. Might have even been when he got disqualified at Aqueduct. Was that the Whirlaway? And I called Mike, Steve Beck, I'm involved with At the Races. That's serious. So you come on the show and talk about your Derby horse. And he laughed. He said, I don't know if I've got a Derby horse. I said, you got a Derby horse. So that's how I latched on to Saint. And, you had a great crew. In fact, got to see Juan Ramirez, who had been a foreman for Mike for many years and is now working for the commission, is now working for the state, in the test barn. And we had so much fun. And also an easy team to root for, frankly, when it comes to the Trombetta team. We might as well stay here. We've only got about 5 minutes at the top of the hour. And then Johnny, we've got a little Johnny D. Marcus Hirsch, we have to push Marcus back, so we'll talk to Marcus in hour three. Let me make that adjustment. Marcus, I blew the time. I said 8:40, meaning 9:40 his time, or Eastern, and he thought I meant Central, and so he's tied up for a little bit. So we'll get Marcus later in the show, all right? But Johnny D, and we got John Ortiz, too. John Ortiz is going to join us with Honey Bunny, and that was a good Ed DeRosa push from Friday. Honey Bunny, boy, did she take money. She was like 10 to 1 morning line and got pounded. In fact, what did she end up? Because this was in the winning color. She was 12 to 1 on the morning line and ended up down around 4 to 1. 7 to 2. Yeah, she paid 8.80. I had a stroll in the park, the Larry Jones. In fact, Larry had a good weekend because he also won one of the legend races down at Evangeline. But we'll talk to John Ortiz about Honey Bunny. And I actually got a funny John Ortiz aside, because the last couple of times I've tried to reach him, you know, I text, congratulations, come on the show. I hadn't gotten a response. And then today I sent the text, and then I noticed, I said, wait a minute. I think Ortiz is an 859, a Lexington number. And this one, I looked at it and I realized it was a 917 in New York. And it took me a couple of seconds to realize why I haven't gotten a response. That's John Ortiz, the actor. I was texting Turo Escalante from what a surprise. I made me laugh. I didn't. So the last couple of times I've tried to reach John Ortiz, I was inviting, and not that we wouldn't love to talk to John again. And John, of course, had the opportunity. We talked to him, you know, during the filming of Luck, and actually a couple of times when he was basically John Parada was taking him, you know, took him around in advance of Luck being shot, and John, you know, was kind of showing him the racetrack. And so I had his number, and I've been bothering him with that. So later on today I got to send him a note, and say, I'm sorry. We'll get him on. You know, and speaking of Luck, Tina and I over the weekend, we were trying to catch all the Deadwoods before the movie on Friday, and looking forward. In fact, Johnny D, we'll talk with Johnny when he comes on. I'd love to get him. We'll check with the J Hub D and see if maybe we could get. That'd be great if we could get Milch this week. That'd be huge if he's feeling up to it. So there you go. There's a little Hollywood aside. Since we're talking Churchill, let's wait for a second. The Kirtana. Ian Wilkes sent out that Colonel John filly, Gentle Ruler, and she upset Gaining, who was a 2 to 5. The Brad Cox, one of the few things Brad Cox didn't win this weekend, and General Ruler paid a nice price too, $1,760 in that six horse field. So that was pretty good. And then the sequence, and I tried that pick five and pick four, and I was on the defensive immediately. Kid Lemuel, that Eddie Keneally sent out in that seventh race, the maiden race, and won well, paid 6-1, and a nice fat $14. I tried Oxburger and World Tax War, Trinity. You know, they all, you know, they ran third, fourth, fifth, no good. And Kid Lemuel started a very nice pick five sequence. Peruvian Appeal, Brad Cox for Steve Landers. The successful Appeal filly, she was good in there and paid $8, eight and change. That was in the third level allowance, non-winners of three. Got you to a very tough horse. I Margolis and the Lowe's. How about She's on the Warpath? Chantal Sutherland. Very good ride. You know, got up behind the speed and took over 24.40 to really put the spurs. I you know, Made to Remember, I thought, was the right horse, and she ran well. I have no complaints. 6-1 for Grand Motion and Chris Landeros, and came running late, but couldn't get to the winner. Honey Bunny, you know, who was one of the ones, obviously, in the winning colors. And then in Nightcap, first-time starter against the field of horses with experience. And this was a Tappet filly for Phoenix and Gainesway. Demi Mondain and 8-1. Unbelievable. So the late action, I already told you about the cross-country pick five. The pick five, 26,626. The pick four paid 4,151. I mean, this was true in both venues. I mean, I played on Saturday. There was a lot of good, you know, and I had a couple of nice hits here and there, but a nice hit at Belmont Paradise Creek. That was okay. That was that kind of salvage of the day and made up for, you know, some of the multi-race tries. But this was really a fun Saturday, I thought, to try to play and you know, to take shots. And it was worth it. You had nothing but four- and five-figure scores in the multis on Saturday. Yesterday wasn't as – we had to do quite a bit of flower planting. Yeah, yesterday. Sorry. Yeah. It's a 3-day weekend. You know you're going to lose one of the days to to husbandly responsibilities. We'll see how Johnny fared on that front. Johnny D going to join us ahead. John Ortiz, Nick Tamaro, John White, Marcus Hirsch. Memorial Day back after this.